Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. State Senator Mujtaba Muhammad of Charlotte is one of the North Carolina General Assembly's up-and-coming freshman lawmakers. Despite being new to the political battles at the legislature, however, Muhammad is an experienced public servant who has worked for several years as an attorney and public defender. Senator Muhammad joined me in studio earlier this week to discuss a number of issues, including the ongoing battle over the state budget, the future of controversial immigration legislation vetoed by Governor Cooper, a Republican plan to dispense some of the state's modest budget surplus in small checks to some taxpayers, and the hope that we could see some bipartisan progress to reform our criminal justice system. Well, Senator Mujtaba Muhammad, welcome to News and Views. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Shrub, for having me. I'm excited to be here.
You are in your first year, right, in the North Carolina General Assembly, serving in the North Carolina Senate?
Yes.
This is not what you signed up for, this sort of endless legislative session. We thought you'd have been done late spring, and here we are headed into September and still going strong.
I thought the same as I was walking into your studio, as I was mentioning. I do have a beautiful family. blessed to have my lovely wife, Saba, and I have two adorable little boys, Ayub and Hamza, who are 5 and 3. This is in public, but I guess it will be now. We're expecting our third one.
Oh, congratulations.
In November, a baby girl this time. Aww. So my wife is very pregnant.
Oh, my gosh.
Two terrorizing boys.
And 3 hours away from you.
Yes, and she's ready to have me back home. But the random breaks that they gave us here and there in the past week or two, those were good. But no, we're still here, and like I mentioned previously, it sounds like Speaker Moore says we're probably going to be here till Christmas.
Well, talk to us a little bit about your overall assessment of what it's been like to serve in the Senate. There's obviously some good things, but there's, I'm sure, been some frustrations.
I will tell you, in my short time in serving the North Carolina Senate already, and being North Carolina's youngest state senator as well, it's definitely an interesting perspective. For me, I never actually thought that I'd be running for public office, especially not right now. I was proudly a trial attorney at the public defender's office, focusing on my career, but the state's well-being was at its stake. Public education, working in the criminal justice system, I personally felt like I was putting a Band-Aid on people's problems every single day. And the General Assembly has a huge impact on our lives every single day. Yeah. The impact the governor has, and folks completely forget, all politics is absolutely local. And I saw the General Assembly as a huge obstacle in our state's way of moving it forward. But being here, I'll tell you, whether you're Republican or Democrat, I've gotten to know some of my Republican colleagues on the other side of the aisle. I genuinely believe everyone truly cares about our state. They call it home. They care for it. We just have different visions and different ways and methods of how we want to get there. But I believe the Republicans have the state's best interests at heart. I just believe their policies for at least the last decade especially have been terrible. It's part of the reason why I ran for public office and I'm here. So it is a lot like talking to a wall here, especially being in the minority party. I can't thank the voters enough. Voters sent a clear message in 2018 that we wanted change, that we were done with the our way or the highway mentality.
Right.
Governor Cooper and Senate Democrats and House Democrats, we finally have a seat at the table, especially when it comes to the budget, because for the last 8 years, they've had it their way in every single way.
Right.
They've had it their way. And like Governor Cooper mentioned yesterday, they haven't even given an inch.
So that's where we are now. We're in this budget impasse that we can't get past. The school year is already underway. We know now that we don't have adequate funding for our schools. But thus far, there seems to be no willingness at all from the Republican leadership and the General Assembly to even have a conversation with Governor Cooper about finding some sort of middle or common ground.
No, absolutely not. And it's not like they're surprised. Yeah. They knew the issues that we were running on in 2018. They heard what the voters wanted. And when we came to session, Medicaid expansion was the first bill that we filed.
7 months ago, eight months ago.
It's not like, it just happened out of the blue. They ignored it repeatedly for the longest time. But I do want North Carolinians to know that Medicaid expansion is not the only debate here.
Right.
We had thousands of teachers come back this summer. They marched. We need to respect and value our educators. And now they're back in the classroom. They were expecting a raise once they came back in the classroom. And I'm a proud product of public schools. My oldest now has just started kindergarten. He has a public school teacher. The folks at his school know that I'm an elected official. And I'm already hearing everywhere you go, being an attorney at the courthouse, our clerks, they were waiting for their state salary raises, and our DAs, our public defenders. So many folks are counting on the state.
And it's not just raises in the public education realm over the last decade. Per pupil spending on everything is down 6.7% under Republican leadership. And we literally have Our textbook budget has been slashed. Our school supplies budget, we have fewer teacher assistants, fewer nurses, fewer psychologists, fewer custodians and bus drivers. Does anybody ever try to explain that as to why we have gone in that path?
It's deeply disappointing. I'll tell you, when I first started session back in January, I spent a whole day at Westmac High School in my Senate district and hung out with some of the kids, and we looked through the history books. And the reality is, black and brown children, they don't even know that we had a president named Barack Obama in the White House, in our textbooks. And that's huge. It's the year 2019. And that speaks volumes of the lack of resources that we have. You know, school safety is a huge issue. I've been working with Senator McKissick and some other folks in the Senate, and, you know, the Republicans don't want to do anything about gun safety or gun violence. And we've talked about, hey, the president apparently thinks mental health is a problem, but you've only, you know, wanted to spend about a third of that in your budget, but we're still lacking. Our school psychologist ratio is 1 to 2100. Our school social work, counselors 1 to 700. It should be 1 to 250, I believe, and 1 to 700. So it just makes no sense. You know, our budgets should reflect our values. This is an opportunity for Republicans and Democrats to come together. We care about the state and to give the people what they deserve. They don't send us to rally for the drama. They want us to really work for us because they're trying to make their ends meet.
The latest plan is that we're going to, instead of funding a lot of these things, we're going to give everybody a tip, a tax rebate of $125, or at least some people $125 on their income taxes.
It's unfortunately, my colleagues in the Senate floor, they called it a gimmick, and it truly is. We could do a lot more. The reality is we have been supporting the state on the backs of working families. And our corporate tax right now has been come down to, 2.5%, one of the lowest in the country. Right. And it's absolutely ridiculous. So $125 or $250 for a married couple is a slap in the face to them. We deserve to do better. One of the first pieces of legislation I filed when I came to the Senate was the Earned Income Tax Credit. This is a huge anti-poverty measure.
Putting money actually in the pockets of the poorest people, the poorest working families in our state.
Exactly. And in 2014, North Carolina was the first state in 30 years to get rid of it.
Yeah.
It absolutely makes no sense. So we need to look at how we're supporting our working families instead of pushing these regressive tax policies. I heard one of my colleagues, Mike Woodard, talking about, well, if I get the $250, I guess I'll go get an alignment. And I reminded him, well, you're going to have a service tax on there.
It's true.
We've expanded
the sales tax.
It makes no sense. We should be spending that money on our dilapidated schools, on our teachers, supporting our school psychologists and counselors. So many great ways we could be spending that money. And I believe the North Carolinians, if they understood what was going on here, and they do, that's what they would likely want.
Another hot-button issue that's been front and center in the General Assembly this year is the issue of immigration policy. And we've had the General Assembly come forward with legislation that Governor Cooper vetoed that would have tried to force local sheriffs to cooperate with Trump's immigration enforcement officials at ICE. At this point, it looks like the governor's veto is not going to be overridden. Are you hopeful that that's going to hold?
I believe that's going to hold. I believe the House Democrats, they're all united in opposition. I know the Senate Democrats were as well. Look, I talked about this on the Senate floor when I spoke on this bill. We shouldn't be making political points on public safety. As an attorney who personally represented so many folks who were literally separated under the 287G program in Mecklenburg County that we had, I had young kids call me. And as a child of immigrant parents, my mom didn't speak the most fluent English. And I remember it creates crazy flashbacks where you're calling the cable company or doctor's office to set appointments.
Basic challenges of life.
And then when I get like a fifth grader calling me and saying, hey, Mr. Muhammad, when's my dad coming home? It's absolutely devastating. And the reality is we're using fear tactics and Trump tactics in North Carolina. That's what was happening in committee hearings. Not all these folks are violent offenders. And we already have a process in place. Magistrates and judges, they have to take into account where the individual's from, their connections to the community, the level of crime, their danger to the community, a whole host of things. And this is what...
If someone's a danger now, they're being held.
They're being held. These are judges who made the decision to set a secure bond. If the individual can post it, they post it, they come back to court. It's not up to our sheriffs if these individuals are going to be released or not. And the federal government, if they wanted to, ICE, they could go seek out a federal warrant and do what they need to do. But deputizing our sheriffs is not the right way. It's just creating more and more fear. I've talked to our prosecutors across our state. Victims of crimes haven't had justice. Criminals have walked because of the 287G program we had. So it has grave consequences, and I'm so thankful. This is exactly why politics and elections have consequences. And we're so blessed that we have Governor Cooper in the governor's mansion. He was able to veto that. Otherwise, we wouldn't have been able to stop it. They would have rammed it through, and we would have to spend more millions of dollars on litigation again.
I do want to focus briefly on one little bright spot we've hinted at and talked about ahead of time that's going on in the legislature this year. One example where maybe we can actually have some bipartisan solutions, and it does seem that there's finally been a realization on the part of a lot of conservative folks who used to be the get tough on crime crowd that it didn't work very well, and that we're going to have to start thinking about second chances for people who are formerly incarcerated and maybe more discretion for judges when it comes to meting out sentences in our criminal justice system. Are you feeling a sense of optimism there that some legislation is going to get through in that realm?
I'm very optimistic, but like I told you earlier, things move very slowly. In my first experience in the North Carolina Senate or the North Carolina General Assembly in general, the Second Chance Act would be a huge game changer. Has broad bipartisan support. I believe it passed the North Carolina Senate unanimously.
Yeah.
It's in the House right now, so hopefully we can get it on the governor's desk as soon as possible. But it's going to open up expunctions for individuals, especially folks who had their criminal charges dismissed or they were found not guilty.
Right. Why should they be not getting hired because
they were
not even convicted of a crime?
So people hold that against you. Again, as an attorney that works in the criminal justice system, I've met so many clients who've lost housing, who can't get jobs, who can't move forward in life because of what's happened in their past, which is deeply disappointing. So it's exciting to see the broad consensus. Another bill that I've been excited about and been working on, and I hope we can continue to get movement on it, at least in the short session, is restoring people's driver's licenses.
Yeah. We've got like a million people in North Carolina.
Because we criminalize poverty. So individuals that can't pay their fines and fees now lose their driver's license. Now they're losing their jobs. Now they're losing their housing because it's not easy to get around. So these are common sense approaches that I hope Republicans and Democrats can get around to help move our state forward, because North Carolinians are counting on us.
Well, on that hopeful note, we'll end our mostly sobering conversation. But Senator Mujtaba Muhammad, thank you so much for all you're doing, your service to our state. We look forward to having you back on the show soon.
Thank you so much.
Coming up next, a look at the persistent problem of housing discrimination with one of our state's top experts. Don't go away.